that I think is going to really be able to bring a lot of insight to a lot of planning questions with regard to some legal issues and stuff like that.
That's right, absolutely. Attorney Audie Perry from the firm of Huddleston Bolin is with us, and his specialty, I believe, Audie, is estate planning and wills and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
Really good to have you here with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Good to have you. And Fred, thanks for inviting me.
Hey, Audie, glad to have you in the studio today. And, you know, I think we need to just kind of begin by some simple things. I know before we went on the air, we were talking about the estate planning toolkit. And let's talk a little bit about that. And you kind of give us some advice, give our listeners some advice on some things that you kind of work with.
Sure. And let's begin with a definition of estate planning. Through a recent conversation, I have boiled it down to how to divide your assets without dividing your family.
Ah, good.
And
well, that sounds like a miracle.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a worthy goal. More mundane definitions are things like arranging your assets so that they serve your current needs and provide for future needs. But I think within that estate planning toolkit, you want to at least have had a discussion about wills, trusts, medical power of attorney and living wills, and financial power of attorney. Let's start with wills. That is the document that, frankly, by law, we all need, because if we don't, the legislature will have created an estate plan for us, and it may not have been the one you chose.
Right. Exactly.
Love our legislators, but they may have a little different outcome than you would have chosen.
Exactly.
Especially for those who have, you know, different family situations that the law just does not anticipate. As well as it's costly, because if you die without a will, then whoever has to take care of your estate, the administrator, will have to post a bond that can easily be waived if you have a will, and so you can save money just by having a will. But primarily under the will, you want to appoint an executor, someone who can take care of your estate. I had a law school professor. He never said anyone died or passed away. He would say, and then their will matured. So
that's a good
their will
one.
Yeah, so someday your will shall mature, and you're going to need somebody to take care of it, and you're going to need somebody that you can trust and knows what you need to take care of. And so a will is the way for you to choose. If you don't have a will, then anybody can come in and get appointed, including a creditor.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people probably listening right now saying, hey, you know what, I don't have a whole lot of assets. I don't have a whole lot of things. I've got a house and a car, and I've got a couple kids. I don't need a will.
Right.
But they do, right?
They do, yeah. Let's think about a couple of just that most common phrase. So right there, we've already discussed one problem. If you don't have a will, then whoever tries to take care of those assets is going to post a bond that was money you didn't have to spend or they don't have to find.
I think when we use the word estate, too, people think, well, I don't have an estate. What are we talking about here? But everybody has something.
That's right. That's right. And other things you mentioned in there are, well, where do you want them to go? I mean, even if we're just talking about your collection of McDonaldland toys, I mean, if that's the estate, you might want to know where they go.
That's right.
Yes. Minor children. You know,
if you have minor children, then you clearly, the will is where you tell the court who you want to take care of your children if you were to pass away. So it's extremely important to make sure you've had that discussion. And beyond just taking care of who gets what and who's to take care of your children and your estate, it's really an opportunity to think about what's your legacy. It's not all about stuff.
Right.
And the will is your opportunity to have that discussion.
Well, you're intriguing me now because I thought in a will, you know, you just put this goes to so-and-so and that goes to somebody else. But what are you saying here?
Yeah, couple things.
Okay.
Now that the tax law is not so draconian, you know, the estate tax has been as low as $600,000. Mm-hmm. And it changes over the past years, but it's now at $5 million. So most of us no longer need this tax-driven document with unified credit trusts and marital, you know, all this complication. Many wills can now get back to what they were meant to be as a last testament, a last speaking of what my life was about.
Wow.
And I'll give you a couple of neat examples. One is go on the website for the Benedum Foundation and read Mr. Benedum's codicil. Now you'll see how that is how you can leave a legacy. We all know the Benedum Foundation for doing great things in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it started by that man's codicil, which he wrote about the difficulty of deciding what kind of legacy to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then another is a recent one. This gentleman's estate was probably about $250,000, including his house, mm-hmm. you know, once that was sold. And he had one child. And we started talking about legacy. What kind of message do you want to leave? And boy, it just really opened up. And I'll give you an example. He said, "Well, I want to leave $5,000 to, Joe Smith. I'll make up a name here,
mm-hmm.
Or Fred Kitchen.
Yeah,
back down, Fred.
for taking me fishing as a small boy. I really appreciated your time.
Oh,
and $10,000 to high school music program in honor of his high school band teacher for introducing me to the joy of music." And he went through some really interesting things. Now, you know, what he said is, "I've tried to give Joe Smith money for years, but he won't take it." Our Appalachian pride, you know. But if somebody did that for you in a document in their last testament, how empowering would that
special,
be to you to speak to you that way? Nobody, quote, reads a will aloud anymore because they're...
That's kind of a pity,
really. because they're not filled with anything interesting.
Yeah, they're just filled with money, mostly.
That's truly a legacy, right?
And, and what's interesting, so through about five bequests, you know, it was 50 of his 250, and so I don't think his daughter would begrudge him, but that 50 might empower... more than kind of the pay it forward concept.
I like that idea.
I do too.
That
would definitely be worth looking at.
The other thing that we often find in wills is we end up dying with a document that looks nothing like we lived. And I'll give you, most of us will tithe to a church or give to the United Way or Big Brothers Big Sisters or some beloved program or the university or a hospital our whole adult life. And then we die with a document that doesn't mention any of that.
Wow.
And I don't know quite why we do that, but I think a lot of it had to do with that tax-driven, you know, we went to see the lawyer because we were trying to save taxes. And, obviously, that there's nothing, that's fine, but there's other broader goals that you can now accomplish without having to be so focused on the tax aspect.
Do you find that a lot of people, as you say, just mention maybe family and friends who get a certain amount of money, but organizations that they've supported, church or charities, don't get mentioned very much anymore?
Right, because I think, you mentioned nobody likes to do it. So when they come in, they want to get out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So they say, "All of my spouse, remainder, and my children." And then, they want to get out and they hope, "I hope he didn't bill me for that," kind of thing. And I just think it's worth more of a conversation than that. If you're going to go through it and leave a legacy, then let's talk about what... And there's nothing wrong with "all to my spouse and remainder of children."
Right.
But there's more depth to it than that.
Yeah.
Do we need to provide some trust for children in certain aspect of their life, either creditor protection or special needs trusts, or just... if they're minors, you don't want an 18-year-old receiving a bequest there. They may choose differently than what you would have thought.
Absolutely.
And while I have that trust concept, you can, if you want to be private about, will gets placed of record. If you go, I'd like to leave some of those things, but I don't want everybody to know it. You can have a will that simply names an executor and pours everything over into a trust that is private. And it can accomplish the same things, and
I didn't realize that a trust would be private.
Right.
Yes.
We need to take just a quick break.
Oh yeah.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's delve into that trust a little bit because I think that's a really good talking point right there.
Yeah.
You're listening to 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Storm Tracker 13 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Temperatures will be warming up to near 90 degrees. We'll have mostly sunny skies. There's just a slight chance we might see a brief little sprinkle passing by. But otherwise, overnight low 66 with partly cloudy skies. For your Saturday, 90. 30% chance of a passing shower. Sunday, scattered showers and storms. Some of those will produce some heavy rainfall with a high of 82. For 13 News, I'm Brian Hughes on your official severe weather station, Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Love spending time outside, stargazing at night, sitting around a campfire with your family and friends.
Great memories like this begin at Setzer's World of Camping. Now is the time for first-time buyers to purchase a new camper at Setzer's with low prices on travel trailers for first-time buyers like $11,995 and $12,995. And pop-ups for first-time buyers are only $59.95. Yep, first-time buyers are talking to you. Now is the best time to let Lynn and her staff help you find a camper that you'll love. They'll show you how to use it and make sure that you have all the right stuff that you need. Now let me tell you again, first-time buyers, you can find travel trailers as low as $11,995 and $12,995 and pop-ups for only $59.95. Don't miss the fun this year. Buy a bag of marshmallows and sit out under the stars enjoying time with your family. 9 to 6 Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 Friday and Saturday. Now is the time. Setzer's World of Camping is the place.
Because the price is going to go up and the kids are going to grow up.
At Setzer's World of Camping.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and I played field hockey at my high school back in Baltimore, Maryland. No matter how many times I got beat up on the field or how often I stumbled and fell, if we were winning, I would head back into the game with drive and energy. But if I took a lot of falls in a game in which we were losing, I felt like throwing in the towel. After all, I felt like we'd already lost. My attitude about hardship depended entirely on what the scoreboard looked like. And I have learned it's the same in life. Since breaking my neck over 45 years ago in a diving accident, I have had to deal with quadriplegia, pain, and cancer. And those are some hard hits. I've had to repeatedly keep a hopeful focus, adjust my attitude, and make the choice to not throw in the towel. So, friend, take heart. The game is not over yet. From disabilitycampaign.org, whatever your hardship, it should be game on.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we are back to planning for tomorrow. This is Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean in the studio. Gene, we've got our guest today is Audie Perry with Huddleston & Bolin, and we're talking about estate planning and getting into a lot of things like that. I want to mention our website, which it's amazing. In a year and a half's time, we're close to 90,000 hits, unique hits on that website. So
it's a lot of hits.
It's a lot of hits. It's been overwhelming, actually, the amount of traffic that website has got. But, you know, evidently we're kind of touching on something where people are wanting information. They're wanting to gather it. They're afraid to call the attorney sometimes, afraid to come into the funeral home, afraid to call the accountant.
Afraid how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, a lot of those things, you know, come into fact to play. So, you know, this has been a great ground for people to gather some basic information to get prepared so that they can make that phone call, get comfortable, make that phone call to their attorney and,
absolutely,
and talk about that. So if we'd like to have anybody want to call in, how can we do that?
Yeah, Audie's willing to take any questions that you might have, and you can reach us at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255 and give us a call if you have a question. Audie will be glad to take it.
Absolutely. You know, when we left from break, Audie, we were talking about wills and things passing through wills and things like that. We just started touching on trust a little bit. And let's talk a little bit more about that, because I think that's important, especially it's important on many levels, I guess. But if you're a business owner, if you're some, just tell us why a trust would be important.
Yes, and there's a couple different kinds of trust, and a lot of people get them confused. But what we're talking about right now is a inter vivos living trust, a trust that you create during your life that is revocable. You can change it as often as you want, just like you could a will. And the trust is a vehicle that allows for some privacy. It does not have to be put of public record, even if it owns real estate. It can, you can just file a memorandum telling the public who the trustee is if it owns real estate, but it does not have to be made of public record. So you can take care of some personal expressions of or legacies that you don't necessarily want everybody to see. And also, trap for the unwary, if any of you out there own real estate, if you live in one state and you own real estate in others, someday when your will matures, your family is going to have to go through probate in every single one of those states.
Wow.
Even if all you own is a 1/52nd timeshare interest in Orlando,
wow,
you know, you'll spend more on that probate of the 1/52nd timeshare than you will of the whole thing here. So if you place that ownership of that property into your revocable living trust, then it will not have to go through probate in those other states. So a trust is also a great beneficiary of non-probate assets. Real quick, let me talk about probate and non-probate assets. Probate assets are things held in your name alone that will go through your will when you pass away. Non-probate are things controlled by an outside contract, like life insurance. That life insurance policy has a beneficiary designation. Well, so your will, I could leave my entire will to Fred Kitchen, but name Gene Dean as my beneficiary on my life insurance, and that life insurance will go to you, regardless of what my will says, because it was non-probate. It was controlled by an outside contract.
Okay, that would automatically happen.
That would automatically happen. But a lot of times, beneficiary designations aren't set up to do the kind of things you want to do,
right.
i.e. trust for your children. You don't want to name your three minor children as beneficiaries of the life insurance policy without making sure that's in trust for their benefit until they're age 25.
Okay.
So you'd simply name this trust as your beneficiary of that life insurance
right.
policy.
And I can see, like, with the insurances, and especially where there's going to be several marriages, there's
mm-hmm.
been divorce and things like that.
Right.
If, you know, you had an ex-wife or an ex-husband that was beneficiary on that policy, but you had everything else going through the trust, and you didn't make that change.
Correct. That's the number one trap is the yeah. misunderstanding between probate and non-probate and
okay.
how you control. They come in, they get their will done, they're all excited, but if they haven't taken care of these other things.
Mm. Is there anything other than an insurance policy?
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of those. The biggest trap for the unwary is joint checking accounts or joint CDs or joint savings accounts. You go in and you name somebody else on your account. You think for convenience only, but By law, on the back of that signature card, when you die, it goes to the surviving person. So go back to my example. I open up a checking account with you for convenience only, but my will says everything to Fred.
Yeah.
Fred's upset when that checking account doesn't show up because it went
yeah.
to you. And I'll make a real-world example there. A lot of times you have the surviving elderly parent here in town, mm-hmm. and they have three children. One lives here. And the other two live in California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the will says to my three children equally, but all her money was joint with the one who lived here for convenience only because she helped her write checks and all that. Well, she thinks they'll do the right thing, but then all of a sudden after they passed away, the one here usually goes, well, you know what? I think she meant me to have that money.
She'd never put me on there.
That's right. And so the better way to do that, and we'll skip ahead just because that happens to so many people, is that's why you have the power of attorney. And you can leave that account in your name alone, and you don't need to add them. You name them your power of attorney, and then they have a fiduciary obligation to leave that money for your estate.
They would just sign the check as Fred Kitchen, POA,
that's
power of attorney.
Correct. Much more clear way to... I mean, the problem we have with so many estates is we aren't clear. We don't say what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
If you mean for them to have that joint account, well, put it in your will. Say, I have a number of accounts that are joint with my, and I mean her to have those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so your children aren't left to suspect one another.
Yeah. Right.
In your practice, do you often get in, well, not often, but maybe rather frequently get into family squabbles like this? Does this happen quite
often? I really wish, I don't have that much pull, but I really wish God had made an exception in Leviticus that, when the second parent dies, just like a 10-minute come back to earth and smack the tar out of your children, because the gloves come off and they start, it's usually about little stuff. But if it could have just been made clear, or if mom and dad just would have had a conversation with them. So it's usually not intentional, it's just people make they commit a suicide.
Right.
You've got some good words.
They assume,
my notepad's full.
They assume that this is the worst or not the way mom wanted it, and so
don't you think a lot of times that the reason why that those family squabbles happen is because mom and dad didn't have a clear plan in place, maybe they didn't see the attorney and didn't actually sit down, because a lot of people try to, I guess, be self-attorneys sometimes and try to understand things.
Yeah.
And when, in fact, like this checking account, I could see that could be an absolute nightmare, because there could be a substantial amount of funds available in there, and it ends up going to that person.
Right.
They could keep that.
Gene, you had your question was, what other non-probate assets are there?
Mm-hmm.
Another big one are retirement plans. Your IRAs or your 401ks, those have beneficiary designations. So again, you need to make sure that your plan coordinates with those assets.
That's right. I was wondering about tangible things other than money.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of women have some jewelry. It may or may not be valuable,
right,
but they want one particular child or person to have it.
Right.
And so is that the sort of thing that you'd put in a codicil to your will, or do you need to put it in the body of the will, or what do you say?
Yeah, with computers now, there's really rarely do you need a codicil. The reason they did codicils, because they didn't want to have to redo the whole will back when you had to type it. Well, now they're on the computers. You call in and say, oh, I want to leave that ring to Susie instead of Jeff. Well, that's just a computer strike. You come back in and you sign a new will.
Okay.
Pretty simple to make changes like that now.
Right.
Yeah. What does the word codicil mean? Just an addition or something?
That's right. An addendum to a will.
And we are coming up to a break here, Fred. So let's go ahead and take that news and weather break, and then we'll be right back with you here on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
How do we give every patient the best medical care possible? Our doctors and specialists collaborate, sharing their vast knowledge and Mayo Clinic's unique expertise. It's this working together that brings you access to the finest medical knowledge anywhere, right here at home. Pikeville Medical Center, proud member of the Mayo Clinic Care Network.
The Mattress Warehouse Memorial Day sale is held over one more week. A Sealy Posturepedic pillow top with memory foam is yours for just $7.99. And get a free TV or Kindle Fire tablet with purchase. Mattress Warehouse has Sealy as low as $149. A Sealy Firm is just $2.98 queen set while they last. Ask about free financing up to 2018 and free delivery. Save big during the Memorial Day sale held over at Mattress Warehouse.
Celebrating 30 years in business with store-wide savings at every location.
This Sunday, June 2nd, Karma Salon in Barbersville hosts an Alzheimer's fundraiser from 1 to 4 p.m. Come join the fun. Inflatables and face painting for the kids, plus great food. We'll see you at Karma Salon, 6431 U.S. Route 60 in Barbersville, for an Alzheimer's fundraiser this Sunday.
You might be tired of hearing about the flu. I know how you feel. I used to think, what's the big deal? But now not a day goes by that I don't hear about it, talk about it, think about it. I guess that's what happens when you lose a child to influenza. You feel compelled to tell your story so other parents won't suffer the same loss. I'm Julie Moyes with Families Fighting Flu. My healthy son Ian passed away only 30 hours after his first flu symptoms appeared. Thankfully, the CDC now recommends everyone 6 months and older be vaccinated against the flu every year. Last year, the CDC estimated that more than 12,000 people in the U.S. died from the flu. 1,200 of them were children. The flu is very serious. Get your family vaccinated. It's the best way to prevent the flu and keep your family healthy.
Visit FamiliesFightingFlu.org to find flu vaccines in your area. A public service announcement from Families Fighting Flu.
Take out the rubbish, scrub down the floor. My aching joints don't jump no more.
What's the matter, pal? When did you become a spectator? Get up and dance. What's that? Your head says yes, but your sore joints say no way? Oh, not like you to stay on the sidelines, pal.
Stumble up the stairway, shuffle down the hall. These aching joints are sore.
You don't have to take joint pain sitting down. For sore hips, knees, shoulders, elbows, even ankles, wrists, and back, new treatments and surgical procedures can restore joints and help get you back in the game.
My joints don't jump no more. My joints don't jump no more.
To find out how to keep healthy joints healthy and make sore joints feel good again, visit orthoinfo.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
The joints ain't sore no more.
I still got it.
You have connections in the government, and there's no telling where they can take you. USA.gov, your official source for all government info. Who knows? Student loan and job hunting tips today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio, and our guest today is Audie Perry with Huddleston Bowling. And Audie is sharing a lot of good information with us, and basically talking about his day job.
He
does have another job, kind of, I guess you'd say. Let's talk a little bit about that right here, and then we'll touch more on it later. But
yeah, they tease me. I feed all the animals out at Heritage Farm in the morning, so I scoop it in the morning and sling it for the rest of the day. But love Heritage Farm. And speaking of legacies, like we were earlier, you know, it's through those grandparents and family and mom and dad and just passing good legacies of not only our family but the whole Appalachian region. Mm-hmm. We do have a good lineage and heritage of ingenious, hardworking people.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow, actually, out at the farm, we are celebrating our next Way Back Weekend from 10 to 3. The public is invited. All museums will be open. Blacksmith will be there, and petting zoo, wagon rides, and such. But our focus, we've invited back those who had participated in the History Channel's filming of the Hatfield-McCoy documentary.
Oh, yes.
So those actors and Trifecta Productions, who's here in this lovely building.
Right, same building.
are going to be out there and kind of letting people to talk to those and reinvent. You know, and that's a part, you know, that story, we kind of, it's about a feud and, you know, da-da. But, you know, when you really look at it and could you have built your own home and raised all your own food and protected your family? I mean,
literally, it was up to the person to protect their family and protect their assets.
That's right.
I mean, really.
So it's a story that could be told many different ways, in addition to the one the way that history portrays it.
Right. I always say that if this country had depended upon me and the likes of me to settle it, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Just incredible people. And our, you know, normally we focus on, you know, explorers and people, gold rush and all that, but the people that stayed here had found their paradise. They found what they wanted to work incredibly hard for, and we are the successors of their hard work. So
exactly.
It's great to celebrate it, and Heritage Farm is a great place to do
it. And Heritage
that.
Farm is really easy to get to.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that it's only 15 minutes from downtown Huntington.
Let's give them some directions from 64, I guess.
Sure, you just take exit 8 and you can follow the blue signs out Johnstown Road and Harvey Road. It's basically 3 miles off of exit 8 of I-64.
Yeah, it's a great time.
It's wonderful.
I've had my kids, my wife and I have had our kids out there several times, and high likelihood we'll be there tomorrow.
Great.
But that's way back weekend, and that's from 10 to 3 tomorrow at Heritage Farm.
So. And I was over at my church the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, and the youth of the church have something planned for tomorrow as well. It won't clash with way back weekend. But and one of the boys came up to me and said, could you mention this on your show tomorrow? So I want to let you know that if you like going to rummage sales, and most people do, that tomorrow from 8 till 2 at Johnson Memorial United Methodist Church, which is right here downtown on the corner of 5th Avenue and 10th Street, is having a huge rummage sale, and they're doing it for the expenses for the youth to make a mission trip.
Okay.
And so we want to invite people to come to that, go in the 10th Street door and go downstairs to our fellowship hall. And I saw what they had set up already yesterday, and lots of good things there.
Yes, so. We've got a lot of exciting things going on in our community. You know, we left, we were talking about wills, we've spoke about trusts, and I want to get into talking about a little bit about powers of attorney, and people kind of having a better understanding of the powers. There's a lot of power of attorney, different types of powers of attorney.
Right, right.
And let's talk a little bit about that, Audie.
Yeah, primarily two main types, the financial power of attorney and then the medical power of attorney. Let's start with the financial power of attorney because it covers everything except medical care. It is an extremely powerful document. The person you name can do whatever you set forth they can do. You can limit their abilities, but most likely you're providing them a broad power of attorney to do anything you could have done financially, pretty much other than you can grant them the power for anything but for, you can't give them the authority to make a will or get married for you.
Okay.
So
that's the two cool things.
So you can retain them, but this, the power of attorney, if you do not have this document, and there's really no reason for anyone not to have one of these documents, you know, we all think we're going to never have any troubles, but if you get to the point of where you're unable to act for yourself and you do not have one of these documents, one of your loved ones or the sheriff or DHHR is going to have to go to the court to get you declared incompetent before anybody can pay your bills. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, people lose their homes because nobody can make the payment for someone who's not able to take care of things. And if they just had this simple document, somebody can step in and take care. Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously have to name someone you trust because this document could be misused. There's two different versions of the financial power of attorney. There's one that's effective the day you sign it. So typically husband and wife, not a problem, or a child for a surviving parent who's already doing everything anyway. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
The other kind is a springing power of attorney. It doesn't spring into effect until a physician has declared you incompetent.
Power of attorney.
And,
okay.
And so that's a good one if you're going to appoint your neighbor or something. You know, you don't have, not that you clearly are never going to appoint someone you don't trust, but
sure. It,
just a little little different approach there.
But this pertains only to financial matters, though. This is not. This doesn't encompass what you need if you're ill or.
That's right. We're going to talk about the medical power of attorney, and they can be the same person.
Okay.
But because the needs are different, the hospital is looking for an entirely different document than the IRS. Mm-hmm. We suggest you put them in two different documents because you might want two different people.
Okay.
You don't have to, but you might choose someone differently for your finances as you do for your medical care decisions. On that financial power of attorney, I want to go back to an earlier conversation, again, because it affects so many people. The person wants to name a local child or a neighbor or somebody to help them write bills, mm-hmm. so they add them to their account. There's a much better way of doing that. You name a power of attorney And it can be a power of attorney just for that account, if that's your wishes. Mm-hmm. And that way, if you don't mean that money to go to that person, the power of attorney is a much better way to handle that mm-hmm. situation.
Putting mm-hmm. them on joint, like we talked
that's
about.
That's right.
So if
that's
you put
right.
them on joint, you've got more. There's more risk.
Correct.
There.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're subject to their creditors. If you put somebody on that joint account and they get divorced, your money just
got, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so which is not true if somebody's merely a power of attorney.
Power of attorney.
You're
okay.
not subject to their creditors.
Now, you can give someone, and I don't know what, maybe you could shed a little light on this as to what the need would be, but you can give someone just a power of attorney just to write checks for.
Yeah, you can limit the scope.
Limit it.
Another. Well, let's go to medical power of attorney, and then I want to come back to this third one for some of the grandparents out there. But now let's talk about the medical power of attorney. The medical power of attorney, by law, does not become effective until you are no longer able to give informed consent. I mean, by definition, the physician will always want your consent. Mm-hmm. It's only when they can't get it. And the law provides, if you don't have one of these medical power of attorney, again, there is absolutely no reason not to have a medical power of attorney.
Right.
Because if you don't, the law gives the physician the right to appoint someone for you. So it is not a complicated document, and you just, again, if you don't have it, things may not end up the way you want them. And this is the document where you can specify your wishes regarding a living will. I don't know why they ever named that. It doesn't have anything to do with living, and it's not a will. But
it has everything to do with maturity, don't it?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. But that's what they call it. But that the medical power of attorney is where if you decide that if you're in a permanent vegetative state that you don't want artificial means prolonging your life, that's the document you can state that.
And we've seen some very public issues where somebody's mm-hmm. been in a coma for 10 or more years.
Correct.
And they didn't have this medical power of attorney. Yeah.
And if those are your wishes, either way, whatever you personally feel on that issue, it is so much better to put it in writing so your mm-hmm. children or your loved ones are not having to make that decision. I mean, it's extremely important to know what that loved one wanted, and it's in writing.
Yeah.
Much, much better situation.
It's another of those things that you know you ought to do it, but I really don't want to think about doing
right.
that.
Oh, yeah.
But think about your family. It's not for yourself. As we said earlier, I think before we even came on the air, you're doing it for your family.
Having these things in place can really be one of the greatest gifts that you could give somebody, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's extremely emotionally draining when you have a loved one in the hospital already, mm-hmm. but then when you're faced with a decision that you don't know what they would have wanted, that's unnecessarily burdensome on your
right.
loved one. So if you can go ahead and take care mm-hmm. of that is a kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that document is where you can express your wishes regarding organ donation,
okay.
And things of the like. I want to come back to another unique document.
Before you leave that,
yeah.
though, if you have a medical power of attorney, mm-hmm. you need to give a copy to your physician if you have a physician.
Great
right?
idea, yes. Our office, we like to do multiple originals because, you know, your agent might need one, you might need one. We keep one if you're traveling and need one. But also, after you get one, you ought to have it scanned into your physician's medical records. That way, you know, it'll be part of your records, which always get pulled up when you go to the hospital.
Absolutely.
Kind of
I think it's important.
Right.
It's definitely an important document to have. And these documents are pretty easy. They're mm-hmm. pretty simple, really, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. straightforward.
Yeah.
It's getting the impetus behind yourself to get it done.
That's
and,
right.
You know.
Absolutely. So let's say now we've got our medical power of attorneys. Let me ask you this. Where should someone start? Let's say they're nervous about doing this,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they just kind of want to stick their toes in the water and kind of
sure.
do it. You know, naturally, we know we need all these documents.
Right.
But there's going to be some individuals that's going to say, you know, I'm just a little nervous about doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
At minimum, where should I at least begin my planning journey?
I think if you call any financial planner or insurance agent or attorney or accountant, and you express, you know, somebody you feel comfortable with, because this is a personal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you mention to them that you'd like to begin working on your estate plan, most of those professionals will have a kind of a questionnaire that can just simply be sent to you. at least in our office, no cost, then at your time, at your own leisure, you can go through those questions and think about, wow, I hadn't thought about that, or boy, I need to address this issue, and on your own time, so that when you do make that appointment to go see the attorney or that person that you trust to have that beginning conversation, you've kind of done your homework. You've kind of framed
up
your
background.
Yeah, you've. And so I think those questionnaires are helpful.
And you know, Fred, we've often talked about what you have available for people. It kind of helps them to think about what they need to do.
Yeah, you know, we've made those available. The Living Will, it's a Living Will Medical Power of Attorney. It's called Five Wishes Document. It's just something simple that people can have notarized. They can get this document. For those who are just don't have anything and are real, I guess have some hesitations about calling an attorney, calling an accountant, whatever, they're a little nervous, this is something to at least get them started. And we're like, you know, hospitals will even offer you some type of a living will and a medical power of attorney. And we're like, you know, at least get this document,
get
because
started.
All of us are going to have some type of health problem at some point in our life, more than likely.
Right.
And we all know we're human, and we know we're the possibility of that. So that at that point, we need to have at that at minimum. You know,
exactly. We need to take a break here, Fred.
Let's take a break, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
You're listening to 94.1 FM and AM 930.
930. Temperatures will be warming up to near 90 degrees. We'll have mostly sunny skies. There's just a slight chance we might see a brief little sprinkle passing by. But otherwise, overnight low 66 with partly cloudy skies. For your Saturday, 90. 30% chance of a passing shower. Sunday, scattered showers and storms. Some of those will produce some heavy rainfall with a high of 82. For 13 News, I'm Brian Hughes on your official severe weather station, Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Got a bunch of old stuff just collecting dust? Well, scrap what you need to get rid of and take it to the new name and recycling Metric near Camden Park on Route 60. Look for the sign of the Happy Clown and you'll find Metric not too far away from it. It's right there on Route 60. It's easy to get there whether you're coming from Ohio, Kentucky, or West Virginia. And if you've got scrap, you've got money in your pocket. Metric near the sign of the Happy Clown, Route 60, between the Happy Clown and Cerrito. Metric, it's a new name in recycling and a new way for you to make money. Metric near Camden Park, Route 60, Huntington.
Hi, I'm Lou Akers. We appreciate you.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-641-0518, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-641-0518. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-641-0518. That's 1-800-641-0518.
Fiesta Bravo. It's time to be fresh and fruity. Whether it's the natural fruity appeal of Fiesta Bravo's Sangria or the all-new Fiesta Bravo Impala Margarita, both feature the taste of fresh fruit that's a perfect reward for your after work or as an addition to a great night out for dinner at Fiesta Bravo in the Ashland Town Center. Fresh and fruity, just in time for summer at Fiesta Bravo, now the home of the Impala Margarita.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
And And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio. And our guest today has been Audie Perry and from Huddleston Bolin, attorney at law. And
you know, Fred, there's something that I'd like to mention about Audie, and that's the fact that several times in fairly recent years, we had the late Bruce Stout on the air with us. And Audie, you told me, I think, that you'd worked with him for many years.
16 years. He was my mentor.
Great fella.
He was definitely a intelligent man, and knew estate planning and knew estate law. You know, we were talking about we've talked about wills, we've talked about a lot of different things, and we were talking about living wills, medical power of attorneys, and a call come in and wanted to just kind of get a little bit of we'll highlight this here just quickly, but permanent vegetative state versus a prolonged vegetative state. What are the difference in those two things?
Yeah, and a lot of this is on medical determination, and most people, when you confront the living will conversation, well, they're concerned of, well, how long are they going to try?
Right.
You know, I think most of us want them to at least try,
right.
And they're afraid that if they sign that document that no one will try. That is not the the legal definition. There's three different versions of vegetative state, but they all basically boil down to no brain activity.
Okay.
And it's for a prolonged period of time. My particular document that I'm familiar with requires two physicians to agree in writing that you're in a permanent vegetative state, meaning no brain activity.
Okay.
And so, as you can imagine, again, if that is your wishes, how important it is to go ahead and express that in a document so your family is not needing, and then the physicians are able to make that decision without your family.
Do you have to be really explicit about what you want when it comes to vegetative state?
You can be, or you can leave it in that broader context of two physicians determining that there's no chance of.
Okay. That is so important. We had an issue in our family where the person who eventually died had been resuscitated five different times, and one of the daughters said, "I don't care how many times they have to resuscitate him." And you know, if that discussion had taken place earlier and his wishes had been made clear,
it's a very emotional issue.
You know, we've been able to talk about a lot of different things. We've talked about estate planning through the show, and I want to just highlight the rest of the show that we have left here about estate administration. I think that's important.
Yeah, good for you.
You know, I deal with it on a daily basis when families have experienced a loss of a loved one, and then they're now faced with someone's going to have to administer this estate.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, and obviously each state is going to be different. We're in a tri-state region, so each state handles their probate process differently. But primarily they come down to three stages.
Mm-hmm.
One is the appointment. The person you appoint as the executor will need to appear at the court and get appointed, and then they will be given certificates that allow them to deal with the banks and the insurance companies and any of the DMV and all those things to take care. Then the next phase will be to file an appraisement, an inventory of the estate, so it can be determined that everybody gets what was called for in the document. Then there's usually a period of time, which I'm going to call the creditor period, that is usually 90 days or so. It varies among the states, but it's a period of time that allows any creditors that may have a claim to let the estate know that they're owed money. The nice part about going through probate, frankly, is once you've done that, you can foreclose claims of creditors that did not, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing to go through probate if you have a concern about that. And unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, some maybe a rather unscrupulous person has got somebody to sign something, hoping that they can. And this is a way to ferret those kind of things out. And then the last step would be either the final accounting. You know, I received 3 pennies, I spent 2 pennies, and here's 1 penny. or if all the beneficiaries agree, you can simply waive that final accounting, yeah, and the distributions can be made. So there, you know, in our local area, and again, each state's different in their complexity, but they aren't as draconian as they used to be now that the estate tax, Kentucky still has an inheritance tax, so if you are listening out in Kentucky, you really need a will and just need to be aware of that. Ohio just phased theirs out, still have some issues there. West Virginia does not have one, and so the probate is really nice and straightforward. So
pretty simple process.
Yes. So, you know, for most of the people listening, there really shouldn't be a fear of probate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's say that dad doesn't have everything in order, or mom, whoever that is, and didn't name anybody as administrator or administrator of his estate.
Yeah.
What's the dilemma that people can find themselves in there?
Well, by law, after a period of time, anybody can go be appointed.
Be the neighbor, it could be anybody.
And it is a powerful position because you hold the purse strings, subject to a court challenge. So you can even have a creditor show up and be appointed. So you really need to take care of that by naming somebody that you trust.
Here again, it's back to the fact that you need to do it. Don't put it off.
No, you can't put it off. It's one of those things that's just very important.
It really is.
I mean, it goes back to what the whole purpose of the show is about, having a plan. And I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we all have to have a plan, then we have to execute that plan. And it's not difficult. The things we're talking about today really aren't difficult things.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that a lot of families or a lot of individuals will feel like, you know what, this is just overwhelming, it's too big, it's bigger than me, I don't feel like I can handle this, this is for somebody else, when in fact it's not. I mean, anybody can do this, and that's why there's people just like you, Audie, that can walk this journey with them and say, hey, these are simple documents you need, these living wills, these medical power of attorneys, these working through the probate process. You work with people on that probably on a daily basis yourself.
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just this business of getting it going, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm as bad a procrastinator as anybody out there.
There's lots to take care of.
Nevertheless, you need to do it, and don't be superstitious about it, because it's not going to make your maturing will come any sooner.
That's right. Exactly. Well, Audie, we want to thank you for being our guest on the show today. We'd love to definitely have you back again.
Thank you.
And talk more. But we've had Audie Perry, and he is attorney at law with Huddleston & Bolin.
And his day job, don't forget.
That's his day job.
Yeah.
And
come see me tomorrow at Heritage Farm.
Heritage Farm. Yeah. And
wish your dad
happy birthday,
us.
Dad.
Happy birthday to
Mike Perry. Yeah, you're going to have to get him something special.
Yeah, I think we will.
Yeah, that'll be a fun day. Well, thanks again. Gene, great show.
Good show.
I think
Audie's
we've given
a
lot
guest.
Of, yep. Absolutely.
Right. And we're just coming up to news and weather here on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Thanks for listening.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a Kindred communication station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesias. Another potentially dangerous.